Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Welcome and shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome again to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am your host this evening, Morey Ishah Yisrael, here to bring you nothing but the truth. We'd like to say shalom to everyone listening in our internet audience through Facebook and YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and all mediums of broadcast. Shalom. For we know that the only reason that you are tuned into our program is because of your great fear and love towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yahweh? Yahweh is the Elohim of our fathers. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, and the only king, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And we're going to discuss this great and awesome mighty Yah this evening. And what will we be discussing? We'll discuss the elect. Yes, the elect. The elect is like the remnant. But the remnant will be the elect. And we will discuss who the elect are and what the elect will go through. Because we are in time in which Yahweh is near. When I mean and what I say Yahweh is coming or Yahweh is near, it means that Yahweh, his deliverance is soon to come. Yahweh inhabiteth eternity. Yahweh is here today. Yahweh hasn't gone anywhere. As a matter of fact, let me show you that Yahweh hasn't gone anywhere in the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter. But Yahweh's deliverance is coming. Yahweh is coming to bring his judgment upon the nations. Yahweh is coming to gather his people. But Yahweh, he's here. In Isaiah 45, it says in verse 14, thus saith Yahweh, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Elohim is in thee. And there is none else. There is no Elohim. Verily, thou art a Elohim that hidest himself. O Elohim of Israel, the Savior. Yes, Yahweh, he hideth himself. You can't see him, but he's here. So if you find him, then that means you looked for him because he concealed himself. But Yahweh is here. It is Yahweh himself that raised us up to bring you this word. So Yahweh is here. And as I said, we're going to discuss the elect. And what is the elect? If you go to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. The 5th verse, where it reads, every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Said every word of Elohim is pure, which means tried, purified, refined, every word, which means everything that Yah states is tested, is verified. Every word of Elohim is pure. It is tried. But the thing about the elect is that they also are tried. The word elect in the scriptures trial, meaning they were picked because of what they went through. And Yahweh said this in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. Because you just cannot expect that Yahweh is going to save you because your last name is Israel, or because your name is Yaakov, because you got a nice little fancy Hebrew name. Can't expect Yahweh is going to save you. This is who Yahweh is coming for. This is who Yahweh wrote this book for. This is who Yahweh sent his messengers to. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, 16th verse reads, "Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." See, the ones that fear Yahweh are the ones that Yahweh said he chose to be his. Yahweh is not choosing those that do not fear him to be his. Why would he do that? And there are many people that do not fear Yahweh. But he is always on the lookout for those that fear him. And why does he want to deal with those that fear him? Because in the book of Malachi, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, it says, "A son honoreth his father." And why? Because a son has a fear for his father. And so a son will honor his father. And the servant, his master. Why? Because a servant has fear for his master. Reverence. Fear. A level of honor. "If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein ye have despised thy name." See, Yahweh knows a father desires, requires, and gets honor. And so does a master. Fear and honor. Yet, Israel, what did Yahweh say about Israel in Isaiah, the first chapter, in verse 3? "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Yet Israel does not know my people, does not consider." What does that let you know? If they don't know, if Israel, we don't know our master, how are we going to fear him? How you fear your master and you don't know who he is? And many of us don't know who Yahweh is, even though we proclaim to know him. Look what Yah said in the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, the 13th verse. "The Almighty Elohim spake this word," in verse 13 of Isaiah 29, "Wherefore Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, for their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men." which means what? Yahweh isn't feared by most, because most people only fear Yah through the precepts of men, which means they don't fear him at all, because man wants you to honor him. But Yahweh, he wrote this book for those that fear him. He's making up his jewels for those that fear him. And the elect, how can they not fear him? The elect are Yahweh's elected, chosen through trial. If you go to the book of Psalms 34, and not a court trial where you got a lawyer and all that, but a trial of life. And you have to be ready to stand against all these different things. But in Psalms 34, it says in verse 17, the righteous cry, and Yahweh heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Yahweh is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivereth them out of them all. Why? Because the righteous fear Yahweh. You think Yahweh is going to choose his elect from among the wicked? No. Yahweh destroys the wicked. Yahweh eradicates the wicked. Yahweh leaves the wicked as ashes under your feet. Yahweh does not save the wicked. Yahweh gets rid of them. But Yahweh will save the righteous out of all their troubles. Yahweh will save the righteous out of all their afflictions. Go to the book of Isaiah 48. Because the righteous will go through afflictions. And if you want to be saved today, in this time, which is what should be on your mind, is being saved. What should be on our minds is, what is the road to salvation? What is the road to mercy? What is the road to being elected by the Most High? What is the road to being delivered? To being able to see the Almighty deliver us? To being able to hear it and see it and live it? Where is that road? Isaiah 48, verse 1 reads, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Yehuda, which swear by the name of Yahweh, and make mention of the Elohim of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the Elohim of Israel. Yahweh of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow is brass. What is Yahweh saying? He does what he does. He proves what he said he would do, because he knows how you're going to act. He knows how you are. He knows that you are obstinate. He knows that you are stubborn. He said, we, the children of Yah, Jacob, Israel, we are obstinate. Our neck is like an iron sinew. Your sinews is supposed to be that connective tissue that is elastic and moves back and forth, side to side. But we got an iron sinew, meaning it ain't moving. It's stiff neck. And our brow, our forehead is as brass, hard-headed. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them. Yeah, Yahweh showed it. You can't say the Christ in the New Testament said this. Yahweh did it. Yahweh showed it. Yahweh declared it. You can't say your idol did this, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. No, Yahweh did this. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. Who knew about the word of Yah as they do today? No, you didn't know. You could say it's always been there, but why didn't you teach it then? They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, tried you, but not with silver. I didn't find you with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. This is where Yahweh is going to choose you out of. The furnace of affliction. This is where Yahweh is going to elect you from. The furnace of affliction. You can't run away from affliction if you're trying to run to Yahweh. He is going to make sure you ready for him. You can't go to Yahweh and you done had an easy peasy life. Everything been clouds and bubble gum and marshmallows and fluffy pillows. Everything is good. No, nothing hard, nothing challenging. Oh, no. Yahweh don't do it like that. Yahweh don't choose his servants in that manner. Let me show you the type of servants Yahweh chooses. You go to the book of Genesis. The sixth chapter. And let's see what was going on in here. And it came to pass, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of men, Elohim, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on the evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. Now, how difficult could that have been? Yahweh just said everybody in the world was wicked. Everybody had evil imagination. But Noah walked with Elohim. Noah was just in his generations. Noah was good. And only Noah. Everyone else was off the chain. Kind of like today. Everyone was evil in their imaginations. Their thoughts, evil. But Noah was just. Noah walked with Elohim. You don't think Noah went through affliction? And then Noah had to see the whole world die. Every animal on earth, every fowl of the air, every living man, woman, and child dead. Noah had to. Should be back shortly. We had a little technical discrepancy. All right. Sorry about that. But as I was saying, Noah was righteous, and he had afflictions, and Yahweh delivered him. He didn't choose Noah because he did like everybody else. Then you go to the book of Genesis. We'll start reading in the 22nd chapter. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that Elohim did tempt or try or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Yitzchak, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Meaning, Abraham's 100-something years old. He had Isaac when he was 100 years old. he didn't have a child till he was in his 80s, and that child had to go away. And he had only Isaac from his beloved wife, Sarah, when she was old. The only son. The only one that can continue on Abraham's legacy. Carry on Abraham's name. Just Isaac, nobody else. And Yahweh said, take him and burn him. And Abraham, what did he do? Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait to the end of the day. He got up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which Elohim told him. He didn't even delay. He just said, okay, that's what's up. Kill my son for you. No problem. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, Elohim will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which Elohim had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him in the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Yahweh called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know now that thou fearest Elohim, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. Who did he know Abraham feared? Elohim. He feared Yahweh because he made it through the test. He made it. He did exactly what Yahweh told him to do. But Yahweh don't accept no human sacrifice, so he stopped him. But he needed to know, is Abraham this one that I have chosen, this one that I have elected and selected to be my elect servant, my friend? What will he do? What lengths will he go for me? And he went to the furthest to even attempt to slay his own son. Will you do that? Yahweh said, we are hard-hearted. We ain't about to do nothing like that. Unless you want to be saved, you got to have mind of Abraham, mind of Noah. Look also in the book of Genesis. Let's spy at the 31st chapter. Start at verse 23 in chapter 31 of Genesis. Verse 22 of chapter 31 of Genesis. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. Elohim came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Yaakov either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Yaakov, and now Yaakov had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Yaakov, what hast thou done? Thou hast stolen away unawares unto me, and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with the sword. Oh, I thought these were his wives. What you mean, captives? Wherefore did thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and did not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? And hast thou not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the Elohim of your father spoke unto me last night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Yaakov either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my Elohim? And Yaakov answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomever thou findest thy Elohim, let him not live. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Yaakov knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And I think I might have went to the wrong chapter. But let's see. Let me look a little closer. Yes, let's. Oh, yeah, this is right. Let's continue. Sorry. In verse 33. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservant tents, but he found them not. Then went he out unto Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, and put them in the camel's furniture, and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my master that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth, and chided with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin, that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. This 20 years have I been with you. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bore the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thine house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. Thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the Elohim of my father, the Elohim of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. Elohim has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee last night. Jacob went through affliction. And that wasn't the end of Jacob's affliction. That was just 20 years of his affliction. But Yahweh chose him. Yahweh said he's the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Righteous men who were tried. This man, Jacob, he made an agreement to work for Laban 7 years for one of his daughters, Rachel. When his 7 years was finished, he said, let me have my wife. Laban threw a big party, got Jacob drunk, and gave him Leah. Jacob woke in the next day, said, man, this ain't Rachel. Laban said, yes, it's not good to give the elder before the young. Marry her also. And see. For her 7 years also. Then he served 6 years for his cattle, and you would think that this man would have did him right, but he didn't. He changed his ways 10 times. So Jacob had affliction even in Laban's house. Even in Laban's house, he was afflicted. He was afflicted by his brother Esau. And he was afflicted by his own sons. And he was afflicted by the drought. And then look what it says to Pharaoh in Genesis. Verse 7, it says, and Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have the days of my years, the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Few and evil. Jacob seen affliction. It wasn't easy. But Yahweh said many afflictions are the righteous. But he saved them out of them all. And the elect are chosen in the furnace of affliction. And you see these great men were afflicted. But then, we're not going to stop there. The 8th chapter. And in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, start reading verse 1. It states, all the commandments which I command you this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove, test thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you. He afflicted you. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger. Yes, you were afflicted with hunger and fed you with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. He afflicted the whole nation, because he was taking a nation into the Holy Land. And this whole nation that he was taking into the Holy Land had to learn, had to become, and had to know how to be righteous. Because only the righteous can be in the Holy Land. And if they're not righteous in the Holy Land, they get kicked out, which we did. But he brought them through the wilderness, affliction, so they can be chosen. A whole nation. But we're not going to stop there either. Go to the book Second Samuel. Might be Chronicles. First Chronicles. First Chronicles. Chapter 28. Verse 2. It states here. Then David the king stood up upon his feet, said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and for the footstool of our Elohim, and had made ready for the building. But Elohim said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." And why did Yahweh tell him that? Because he did. He shed blood. He was a man of war. So he couldn't build his house. And then, let's show you something else about David. If you go to 2 Samuel. The 12th chapter. It says here in Daniel 12, Samuel, 2 Samuel 12, discussing the judgment Yahweh put on David because he had an adulterous affair and had the husband killed. And here it says in verse 9, where it says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the word, the commandment of Yahweh, to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine house, and will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against Yah." And Nathan said unto David, "Yahweh also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." You see? David even got delivered from this, even though he had to deal with this affliction. Look what David said in some of his Psalms. In Psalms 12, But Yahweh chose David, even through the affliction. Where it says, in Psalms 66, I should say. Psalm 66, verse 10 says, for thou, O Elohim, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Why? Because you got to go through this affliction in order to be chosen by Yahweh. And David was chosen by Yah. And Jacob was chosen by Yah. And Abraham and Isaac and Noah and the whole nation of Israel. This affliction. Also, go to Psalms 105. We're going to begin reading at verse 17. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of Yahweh tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. You see, he was tried by Yah's word for a time. And he made him the master of his house and ruler over all his substance. Man. But Joseph had to go through like 13 years of affliction. But he was still chosen by Yah. But Yahweh tried him. Joseph went through affliction. Go to the book of Job. In Job, the 42nd chapter. It says in verse 10, and Yahweh turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, Yahweh gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Yemima, in the name of the second, Keziah, in the name of the third, Karin Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. But what did he have to endure? Evil. All his children died. His whole land got burnt up. His house died, got burnt down. His cattle got taken away. He just went through affliction and evil. But at the end, Yahweh saved him out of it and blessed him because he chose him, because he was his elect. Also, look in the book of Daniel. And what are we discussing? Yahweh's elect. And what is the elect? The elect are the tried. You are elected by trial in Yahweh's house. You're not just elected to be in Yah's house because you got the name. You got to be tried. You got to go through the furnace of affliction, as Yahweh stated in Isaiah 48. But we're going to the book of Daniel. I believe you want the third chapter of Daniel. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let's see. Let's start at verse 12. It says, "There are certain Jews, Yehudadim, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy Elohim, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my Elohim, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you give place before Trump, and he said, Is it true that you not trying to pledge allegiance to my flag? You see, all that kneeling doesn't stop in the NFL. You see, they not talking about that no more. You better kneel. You better pledge allegiance to this flag. You better kneel to this image. But how did Yahweh's elect behave? Verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is it that Elohim that shall deliver you out of my hand? Who is that Elohim that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered." And this is how the elect are. This is how the elect behave. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy Elohim, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We ain't gonna do nothing you asked us to do. We don't care about what you gotta say. We serve Yahweh and Yahweh only. I don't want to hear about your music and your cornets and your sackbuts and your flutes and your national anthems. Nope, we ain't worried, king. If Yahweh gonna save us, he'll save us. Throw us in the fire, let's go." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four loot men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of Man. Son of Elohim, excuse me. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High Elohim, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any Elohim except their own Elohim. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other Elohim that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And why? Because Yahweh saved them. Yahweh delivered them because they were Yahweh's elect, and they had to go through a test to stand up for the word of Yah. And they were tried, and Yahweh chose them, and he saved them out of their affliction. Because if you want to be the elect, then you must go through the afflictions. Furthermore, in the book of Daniel, in the 6th chapter, you'll see what happens. We're going to start in verse 7, where it says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any Elohim or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elohim, as he did aforetime. Which means what? Just like his brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel wasn't afraid to stand and be bold for Yahweh. And he said, I don't care if they made a law that I can't pray to no other God for 30 days. I'm going to pray to Yahweh, because Yahweh saves his elect, the righteous. And if we expedite to the 19th verse, to the 18th verse. Then the king went into his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the Most High Elohim, of the living Elohim, is thy Elohim, who thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My Elohim sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before him, thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed his Elohim. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them there, children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and broke all their bones in pieces, or every they came at the bottom of the den. Then the king Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble at and fear before the Elohim of Daniel, for he is the living Elohim, and steadfast forever. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Because why? Because Daniel was righteous. Daniel served the Most High. Daniel was his elect. Daniel was tried, and he made it, and he was delivered. But he had to go through the affliction, as we have to go through the affliction. If you go to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, you see, as it said in Psalms 34, many afflictions are the righteous. And I just showed you Noah, Abraham, Jacob, David, the whole nation of Israel, Job, Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 10 men. 10 different people
that had to suffer affliction. But they were all saved. All of them. And you think, and we think, that we're not going to go through it? In Isaiah 42, verse 1, where it reads, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles." All y'all on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, y'all ain't bringing judgment forth to the Gentiles, arguing and snapping at each other and fussing at each other over what law you can't keep and what law you don't do and what law you don't like. Yahweh is going to get his elect, those that fear him, to bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles, and it's not going to be on Facebook, and it's not going to be on Snapchat, and it's not going to be on Instagram. It's going to be in their face, because his elect is bold. His elect will bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. This is what Yah's elect will do. Look in Isaiah 45th chapter, where he says, "For Yahakov my servant's sake, and Yisrael my elect, have I even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." Yahweh chose Cyrus. Yahweh chose Trump for you, the affliction that you got to go through. He's doing it for you. You're his elect. Look in Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Where it reads, in verse 6, "Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all." Which means what? He's going to destroy a lot of his garden, but not all of them. There's new wine in that cluster. And simply for the servants, the elect of Yahweh, he's not going to destroy all of it, because there's new wine, something that has been reserved, preserved for Yahweh. And Yah said, "And I will bring forth a seed out of Yahakov, and out of Yehuda an inheritance of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there." Yeah, it's not going to be just anybody, just anyone. It's Yahweh's elect. And the elect, it means they're tried. They're selected, chosen by trial. As you can see, Yah's servants have been chosen by trial. Also, look in the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. We can't just go around behaving any old way that we want to, doing any old thing that we want to do, acting any old way that we want to act. We have to consider Yahweh is our Elohim. How does he view what we're doing? Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, where it reads in the 9th verse, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So you have this heart of yours that is off the chain. It's wicked, it's deceitful. It always wants you to do what it wants to do. It's trying to take you away from the Most High. Yahweh said, "I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." If you think you're going to get away with all that wicked behavior you do in the dark, you're not going to get away with it. It's going to come forth upon you. Yahweh sees your heart. Yahweh knows what you're trying to do. You can't look like you are going through the trials of affliction of the righteous and then go out of here and go wherever and then play the role of a fool in loving it and chilling and having fun as a fool, but then step amongst the ones that you perceive to be righteous and try to act like you one of them. No, the elect, they don't fake the funk. They don't act one way in front of one folk and another way in front of another folk. The elect serve Yahweh everywhere, all the time. Yahweh is trying your heart right now. And the only way you can win is by the power of Yah. Because we got afflictions. And what do you think he's doing to afflict you? He's testing that heart. He's going to see if you can withstand these afflictions. And how do you do it? It's in the book of Joshua. First chapter. In the book of Joshua, the first chapter, start reading in verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." This is the way to making your heart not become wicked. But you have to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit in order to do this. Because this law isn't for the weak. This law isn't for the timid. This law isn't for the shaky and the ones that live in denial. This law isn't for the wish-washy, the fair weather, the here again, there again, the double-hearted. This is not who this law is for. The law of Yah is for the strong and very courageous. And we all been weak. And we all been fair weather. And we all been double-hearted. And we all been timid. And we all been back and forth. And we all been backsliding. But what did Yahweh say in Isaiah the 10th chapter? in Isaiah chapter 10 in verse 20. It states, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel," which means a small amount, not all of Israel, a small amount, a little bit, "the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again say, stay upon him that smote them," meaning they're not going to trust in their enemies anymore. This remnant of Israel, not going to trust in their enemies no more. They're not going to trust in their enemies' interventions, medicines, education, judgments, laws. They're not going to trust in the enemy's ways, in the enemy's financial system, in the enemy's mind frame, in the enemy's philosophy. They're not going to stay upon them that smote them, but they will stay upon Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. That's who the remnant's going to depend upon. And that's who you got to depend upon if you want to be delivered. If you go to the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter, I hear people oftentimes say, "I look weak if I do this. I look weak if I do that." And they're mostly talking about keeping the law. And who you look weak to? You look weak to not Yahweh. If your friends and your community think you weak because you keeping Yah's law, then you ain't around good people. But you look strong to the Most High. And in the book of Zephaniah, if I could get it, the third chapter, verse 11. "In that day shall thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then will I take away from out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty because of thy holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, because many afflictions are of the righteous. And they shall trust in the name of Yah." Why? Because he saveth them out of them all. "The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid, because they trust in Yah." Because the remnant ain't about to do all this foolishness, ain't about to run around here dealing with all this nonsense and foolishness. The elect, the tribe, they chosen by trial. This affliction that you chosen by, it's affliction that you got to go through if you want to make it home. You ain't about to roll home in a Lamborghini and a Porsche 911 and a Ferrari and a Bentley and a Land Cruiser. You ain't about to roll home in nothing fancy. You ain't about to go home looking like you are $1 million straight out of captivity. Yahweh's going to bring you right through the wilderness and humble you and make sure you're ready for him. And those that can't deal with it, you got to go. You got to get out. He's going to make sure you go. Look in the book of Psalms 139. In the book of Psalms 139, we're going to start reading at verse 22. And it states, "I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." Let's start a little bit earlier.
Do not I, verse 21, hate them, O Yahweh, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O Elohim, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path, in the way of everlasting. Who is ready to state these words? Search me, try my heart. Well, this is what we all should be saying. We want to be searched and tried and refined so we can be saved. You don't want to be somebody that ain't tested, proven, tried. And in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 9, it says, and he said, oh, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. The wicked, they ain't even thinking about this. But if you want to be delivered, you'll be purified, made white, clean, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And you're going to be the ones, the wise, that are tried, that are dealt with, that are tested, that are refined in the furnace of affliction, that go through the afflictions, to be chosen by Yahweh, to be selected by the Almighty. Because Yahweh is coming, and Yahweh is going to make his jewels, and Yahweh is going to select his people. And if you're not prepared to go through these afflictions, and if you want to know why we're going through these afflictions, it's so we can be tried. We can be purified and become one of Yahweh's clean vessels to make it back home. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Yisrael. Shalom.
Only through needs to pray. Yeah. Receive a blessing only through you, yeah.
I will praise your holy name.
Kneel on my knees to pray.